Hopkins University that he feels like that the United States will be in herd immunity by April.
Herd immunity.
Meaning, you know, a lot of these restraints and things are going to be more and more lifted. Hallelujah!
Amen!
Because I plan on also doing some ministry on the res this summer. Hallelujah!
Amen!
And not just sitting here in the desert heat talking about it, what we could have done. Amen! In Jesus' name. All right, hallelujah. Let's get into the Word of God. By the way, don't forget that we begin tomorrow night. If you're doing in-person discipleship, we'll meet here at 6:30. Be prompt. We're going to do it. We're going to do it at 6:30. And then if you're in a Zoom meeting, both the Zoom meetings are on Wednesday, and those of you that are in a part of that, and those of you back east that are joining us, I'll be contacting you to confirm to make sure we know how to actually do Zoom. Me and technology don't always get along, but in the name of Jesus, we will. Susan and Melissa and them, Timothy, they're going to help me do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for your giving and your faithfulness to continue to please to remember to be faithful in that aspect so we can keep everything doing. God has so blessed us, and we're so thankful and grateful. But we also know the Lord's called us to do a lot of things. Amen? And so that abundance to do every good work is exciting our heart. And I believe as more and more disciples are raised up and made and challenged and encouraged, we're going to be more and more excited about what God wants to use us for. I actually want to begin today looking at our identity. If you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Now, I'm looking around the room, and I know all of you, and we're all born again, right? Children of God, right? I know online, I doubt there's a lot of unbelievers watching. There could be, but today's your day to get saved, but you can be saved today. But I just want you to see this, that this is your identity in Christ. I know you're familiar with it, but allow the Holy Spirit to cause this word to become enlightened to you this morning. Are you ready? 1 Peter 2, verse number 9. Let's begin there. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. So that, okay, here's why. You may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you, what? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now. Everybody say now. You are the people of God. Hallelujah. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. We're going to read a little further, but before we do, there you have a now identity in Christ. Hello? And how many know what was prophesied over us today? If you don't understand your identity, you don't know how to even step into that.
That's right.
Let's be honest. You have a now identity in Christ. We are now the people of God. How many of you believe that?
Yes.
We are now the people of God.
Amen.
Now look at verse 11. Here's how we, that people that just got described, here is how we function in the earthly realm. Are you ready?
Amen.
Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul. By the way, the condition of your soul is very important.
Amen.
Real quick, you are a three-part being. You are spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And your spirit and soul are connected together is what we would call the heart of man.
Yeah.
And in that, your soul needs to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that in just a moment, okay? Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of what? Evildoers. And the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Amen.
Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil. And how many of you know, the United States is based upon freedom. Hello? Yeah. And how many of you know that freedom is used in this country for evil?
Yeah.
Now.
In many, many areas.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And many Christians use freedom for evil.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he's telling us here. Don't use it for evil, right? A cover for evil. Well, I'm free to do whatever I want to do. You are. But that doesn't mean you should do whatever you want to do, right?
That's right.
But use it as what? Bond slaves of God. How many of you are glad you're free to serve God?
Yes.
Notice the word bond slave. That doesn't mean you're just a slave, like do what I say. The bond slave part of it means you do it from your heart. You, in your heart, wish to serve God.
Yeah.
That's the connection. It's the difference between a bond slave and a slave. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. Here we go. Honor the king. That's a little K there, by the way. It's not talking about King of Kings. We do honor him.
Yeah.
But it meant honor the king in authority over your life. Beloved, we are aliens and strangers. Well, whenever I say alien, I kind of grin because I just think of, you know, outer space aliens. But we are also, another word that's used in a lot of passages like the King James is we are sojourners. Hello, you know, this world is not our home, right?
That's right.
Hello?
Yes.
Newsflash for everybody.
Yeah.
This is not true. But where's our citizenship?
Heaven.
Our citizenship is in heaven. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors of our Heavenly Father's kingdom while we're on the earth. Can I say this to you? There's no need for ambassadors in heaven. You're there.
You're there.
It's established.
That's right.
The need for an ambassador is to represent heaven That's where right. heaven's not.
That's right.
You getting this?
Yeah.
Your life is like you're a mobile embassy.
Yeah.
For God, right? That's the way it's supposed to be.
That's right.
We're ambassadors while we're on the earth. This is why we're to pour our life into the things eternal, not into the corruptible things and the pursuits of this world. Here's the thing. As long as we're on the earth, we're to live as a witness of Jesus and His kingdom.
Amen.
As long as we're on the earth. Do we
That's
agree?
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, sojourners, that word that's used a lot in some of the older translations, sojourners don't put down very deep roots.
No.
Some people don't want to be raptured because they don't want to be, their roots are going to be ripped up from the world. It's not going to be a fun thing.
Oh, yeah.
But they understand that in the places in which they reside, that they don't put down deep roots because they know they're going to soon move on.
Yeah.
And to their next, either the next kingdom assignment or ultimately, we will one day move on and sojourn right into eternity in heaven.
Amen.
Amen? And here's the thing. Here's the way to live a fruitful life is with everything that you and I have been blessed with. It's like we receive it with an open hand. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
It's with an open hand so that whatever I freely received and been blessed with, I'm a representative of God, so I freely give it.
That's right.
I freely Amen. Give what I freely received.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Amen.
Here's the bottom line. Our life as believers in Jesus, as sojourners, our life is to exemplify the values and the standards of our eternal home in heaven. Would we agree?
Amen.
That's what we're called to represent.
Yeah.
And with every opportunity, as I shared with you a few weeks ago about the kingdom, with every opportunity, we are to exercise our Lord's dominion over any demonic dominion. When we've been given the authority, when we give an opportunity to speak into that.
That's
Amen.
Right.
That's what the word was about today. You need to take back that.
Yeah.
You've got to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus has already done it, but you have to implement it
that's
in
right.
the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
So mostly, let's be honest, we're living a life on the earth in exile.
That's right.
Yeah. True. I mean, we're living in exile and sometimes even hostile territory.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Some of you would say that about your job or say that about, you know, even maybe some of us, our own families.
Yeah, yeah.
But we got to understand something. It's going to be more like that even so as the day draws near.
Yeah.
As the day of the Lord's drawing near, we're not looking for things to go down. We're looking for the dark to get darker.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, but the light of God is going to get brighter.
Right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now I want to go back to Deuteronomy 1 where Pastor Carl shared last Sunday. Wasn't that a great message?
Yes.
Amen.
If you weren't here, if you didn't listen to it last week, I encourage you to listen to that word from Brother Carl last Sunday. That would have been the 14th, Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So, but I want to, he quoted from Deuteronomy 1:33, but I want to look at a few verses right before that. In Deuteronomy 1, the Lord has started pouring into my heart just sitting there on the front row listening to this message. Look at, let's go to verse 30, begin there. The Lord your God who goes before you. Now, if you have your Bibles, underline that. He goes before you. He will himself fight on your behalf. How many are glad for that?
Yes.
And just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God, what?
Carried
you. Just as a man carries his son in all the way which you've walked until you came to this place. Everybody say this place.
This place.
Now look at verse 32. But for all this, you did not trust the Lord your God. And then again, what does he initiate here? Who goes before you on your way. If you have your, again, if you have your Bible out, you ought to underline it. He goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to encamp in fire by night and cloud by day to show you the way in which you should go. And how many did it bless you last week?
Yes.
How much he kept emphasizing God had already gone before.
That's right.
Those miracles. God had already gone before them. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, again, I want to listen to the message again just to be stirred up about that part of the sovereignty of God. But how many know if God's gone before you, you have to go in pursuit of Him who's gone before you. Now, as we sojourn in this life, the Lord our God goes before us, but he's also with us. That's the beauty of God. He's gone before us, but he's also with us. He'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. Amen? And even in exile, everybody say exile.
Exile.
He's still gone before us to lead us to the place he's already prepared for us. And so when you understand that, you get into this place thing, a place called peace, which is where we all want to be, amen?
Yeah.
Now, what I want to share with you today, I believe it applies to us personally. It applies to our marriages, our families. It applies to us corporately as the church of God, okay? It applies to us. So I want you to hear this in this way. Even as we see everything that can be shaken, how many know everything is being shaken? We're seeing more and more of the shaking. The Lord still goes before us,
amen.
Okay? And he's carrying us, and he's bringing... How many of you would look back on your life and realize there were times that God truly was carrying you? Amen? Because if he hadn't carried me, I would have never gone there. I'd been like that little brat kid that you had to drag to the mall to get to... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Some of us have been like that, right?
Right.
We just need a good whooping, right?
Yeah.
But he wants to bring us to our enlarged place. Hallelujah. I keep saying enlarge. In the name of Jesus, this room's just going to supernaturally enlarge. Hebrews exhorts us today... If you will hear his voice,
amen.
And not harden his heart, and enter into his rest. Everybody say rest.
Rest.
See, if our hearts remain hardened, well, what happens is when your heart's hard, you don't make hearing his voice a priority.
That's right. That's right.
We're too busy to hear his voice. We're too busy to invest that time in intimacy,
right?
We're too busy to wait upon the Lord. Or we act like, you know, I don't really need to hear his voice, but surely somebody will prophesy to me.
Yeah.
I believe in the prophetic. I'm glad for the prophetic, but there's an error to it where that's the only way you can hear God. Hello?
Amen.
That shouldn't be the only way you hear God.
Yeah.
You ought to hear God every time you open the scriptures.
That's right.
You ought to hear God every time you pray and worship and listen to his voice. Amen?
That's right.
Hearing his voice should be a priority. And when it's not a priority, what happens is we fail to enter into his rest, okay?
Yeah.
The enemy comes to steal this place from us. How do you know that's true? He don't want you to be in the rest of God. He wants us to come. In the rest of God, you have supernatural grace, you have supernatural peace, and you have supernatural joy. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
That's what it's like to be in the rest of God. And the enemy has come to take that away.
That's right.
Amen? Amen. So that we can't hear his voice. A lot of times he'll do it through distractions. We know that. Mm-hmm. He'll do it through the storm that's come against us. But he'll also do it by making us feel like we're not righteous. We're not worthy.
Right.
In Christ Jesus, everybody look at me. If you're in Christ, you're righteous.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
In Christ, you're righteous.
Amen.
He who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
That's
amen?
Right. Amen.
So if you can learn to rest in that, the enemy can never tell you you don't have some kind of a right to abide in the rest
amen.
Of God. Most Christians don't rest.
Yep.
That's right.
They don't.
That's right.
They don't know how to rest in God and rest in the finished work of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Don't get mad at me. It's just true. But he's wanting to take that away from us. It's already been given to us. It's already been given to us. Now, most of us know, we're going to go to Jeremiah 29 if you want to turn there. But most of us know verse 11, don't we? For what? I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not calamity. What? To give you what? A future and to give you a hope. Some translations say a purpose and a destiny. Hallelujah. How many of you know God's plan for all of us is a good plan?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes.
Well, I want to take you on a journey backwards from that verse. Because it's very important that we understand what leads up to that verse. Because we quote it all the time. And I'm not saying it's always wrong, but sometimes we cherry pick verses.
Yeah.
And we don't really get the context. Y'all like the sound effects I had this morning?
Yeah.
Can I say this to you? God has a good plan for you even when you're in exile. Even when you feel like I'm just sojourning. God's got a good plan. Let's go back to verse 4 of Jeremiah 29. Look what it says here. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the what?
Exiles.
Whom I have sent into exile. By the way, who sent them? Who sent them? God did. Who I sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. How many know that's the wrong direction?
Yeah.
Right? Build houses and live in them. And plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters. And what?
Multiply.
Say it. Multiply there.
Do not decrease.
And do not decrease. Multiply there. Where? In exile.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
Hallelujah. Even in exile, we're to increase and not to decrease. Hallelujah. I shared with you a few weeks ago from Isaiah 54. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to enlarge our heart. Why? Because our sons and daughters are coming forth in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. We need to enlarge our hearts. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And prepare for the increase that is coming. Now look at verse 7. This is so key. Seek the welfare of the city where I sent you into exile. And pray to the Lord on its behalf. Everybody say intercede.
Intercede.
Come on, say it again.
Intercede.
Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. Which tells me something. If the place where I'm in exile doesn't have welfare, I'm going to have a hard time having welfare.
That's right.
Now, everybody knows we're not talking about a government welfare program. Everybody with me? The word welfare, don't apply it to socialism, okay? Intercede for the city's welfare. We're to pray for all men. Do we know that?
Yes.
And we're praying for all who are in authority. We already know that's what we've been directed to do. But in our intercession, here's what I want to encourage you. We are to always bless and never curse. Hello? Now, how many of you know, if you feel like you're in a place that you know you don't belong, and you feel like you're in a place of exile, but you know there's a better place, maybe you feel like you're in a desert place or a place of exile, I'm just kind of sojourning, but yet God says, but I want you to pray in that place you are, and I want you to be fruitful there. But if you curse it, how many of you know, that's a real problem?
Yeah.
If you curse where you are, you'll never get where you're destined to be.
That's right.
Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Very important. It's a principle in the Word of God.
Yeah.
Think about this. What if believers, I mean, you know, Metro Phoenix now is over 5 million people.
Wow.
And still the fastest growing metropolitan area in the United States. So, you know, who knows, by the end of the decade, it'll probably 6 or more million people. My point is, in spite of the fact that we know there's a lot of lost people here, there's a lot of saved people here.
Yes.
Hello?
Yep.
There's a lot of people that know the Lord.
Yes.
And what if the believers started blessing the community, started blessing the city, the town, the community, the inner city? What if people started blessing the Indian reservations? Amen?
Yes.
Hello? I'm serious.
Yes.
Instead of cursing. Remember Joshua and Caleb came back, they said, it's a good land.
Yeah, amen.
The other 10 spies came back and said, have you seen the size of those giants? We saw them. And they literally cursed the land.
Yeah.
And it released fear into the people.
Hallelujah.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. And do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill what?
My good word
to you, what? To bring you back to this place. So you're not going to be in exile forever. Okay? Let me just say this before I finish, because I don't want anybody to walk out here thinking, I'm a non-prophet guy.
Yeah.
I believe in prophecy. I believe the Bible says we should not quench the spirit and we should not despise prophetic utterances. Amen?
Amen.
We've been prophesied to today and it's been very encouraging. Amen?
Yeah.
But what we have to do is examine everything carefully.
That's right.
Amen? We got to hold fast to what is good. Amen?
Right. Amen.
I mean, we say in the South, we got to eat the meat and spit out the bones.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And we got to learn to do that. Here's the thing that I feel like the Lord, like never before, we need to understand. When I say we, I just feel like the church, the remnant in general, not just Freedom Gate. But Jesus said clearly, my sheep hear
my voice.
We've got to learn to hear his voice.
Right. Amen.
Again, I love, for me, a prophetic word for me on a personal level should be confirming what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Because if I hear something I've never heard in my spirit, it's a hard time receiving it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Y'all with me?
Yeah.
And so that's where the prophetic can get a little wonky. Right?
Yeah.
And we start to miss out on what God wants to do. But if people aren't listening, they're not hearing. Today, if you will hear my voice, you'll be able to enter my rest. Because you'll know you've heard from me. And if anything, the prophetic word just confirmed what God's already been speaking to me. How many of you have had that happen?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's happened to me dozens upon dozens of times.
Yeah. Amen.
I've been called out in meetings before, in conferences, and prophesied over.
Yeah.
It's like that guy was in my prayer closet. Well, guess what? It wasn't that guy. It was the Holy Ghost on that guy who is in my prayer closet. Hallelujah. Here's the thing. When things are spoken on a more grander level or a corporate level, we tend to prophesy in part, and we don't get a lot of details. Hello? Especially in the area of timing. Hello? Okay? So, Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit would come and reveal to us what is to come. So we do need to understand what is to come. Now, I want you to stay in Jeremiah 29, and we'll put this on the screen for you. But I want to jump out of that. We're going to come back. But I want to jump over to Habakkuk 2. In verse number 1, look what the prophet said. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will what?
Keep watch.
Keep watch to see what he will what?
Speak to me.
And how I may reply when I am reproved. How many know to be reproved is to be corrected?
Yeah.
I mean, we need some corrections from time to time. Yeah. Let me say this to you. Most people don't want to hear because they don't want to be reproved.
Right.
Oh boy.
They only want to hear, oh, you're awesome.
Yeah.
And he does think you're awesome, but
yeah.
if you're never reproved, if you're never chastened, you're not a son.
That's
the
right.
Bible says that clearly.
That's right.
Okay? Now look what it says here. Then the Lord answered me and said, and we know this part well, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, right? That the one who reads it may run with it. Amen? For the vision is yet. Now get this. For the what? Is it on the screen?
For the appointed time.
It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. In other words, it'll get there, right? Though it tarries, I thought it was hastening, right? Hello? To you and I, it's tarrying. Hello? Because we want it before we hit the car door leaving the church parking lot.
Yeah.
Right? Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will what?
Certainly come,
and it will not delay. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we can see here that timing is everything. Mm-hmm. God has an appointed time. The good word will come at an appointed time.
Amen.
And that's what was happening here in the book of Jeremiah 29. Let's go back to that chapter. It seems the problem that I don't think it may have been that there were some conflicting words and dreams coming from some of the prophets in the house that didn't line up with the word of the Lord. I don't know exactly. But interestingly, the correction that he brought was about how long they were going to be there. Hello? He said, it's going to be 70 years. That'll be completed first. And
then you
will come to that place. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
We have to be determined to be fruitful in exile, because it could be a while. I know, that's not one where you want to take up an offering right after you say that. You don't get a lot of amens, but it can be a while. You're exile. Hallelujah. So you have to enter his rest.
Amen.
And hear his voice.
That's
amen.
Right.
How many of you know, if Jesus comes tomorrow, what should you and I be found doing? We should be found in faith.
That's right.
Amen. Men and women of prayer, being fruitful. Amen. We're to be alert. We're to be ready when he comes. Which I believe is why we don't know the day or the hour.
That's right.
If we knew that Jesus was going to come between Christmas and New Year's of this year, some people wouldn't get serious with God till Christmas.
Yeah.
You know that's true. So God just says, I'm coming and I'm coming soon.
Yeah, right up to the last.
I mean, you live totally different.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, right?
Right to the last.
Oh, I guarantee you, church would fill up on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
He's coming this week.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
I need to get ready. We need to get ready now. Amen?
Oh, yes.
Amen. Does that make sense to you guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
Then you come to verse 11. And he says, for I know the plans that I have for you, that we quote all the time, declares the Lord. Plans for what? Welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope.
Amen.
Oh, but what's required of us, beloved? Keep reading. Keep reading. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek
me
and find me when you search for me. Everybody say intimacy.
Intimacy.
With all of your heart. And I love the next six words. What does it say? I will be found by you. If you seek the Lord, he'll allow himself to be found. Hallelujah. And I will restore your fortunes. I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Even in exile, God sends you there on a mission.
Amen.
To be fruitful and to multiply.
Amen.
And to represent Him on the earth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You might say, well, how does that really speak to us today? Well, I think it speaks powerfully to us today.
Yes. Amen.
In four ways. Number one, we need to bloom where we're planted.
That's right. Yes.
You can't kick the can down the road. Well, I'll be fruitful when I get over there. That ministry I was prophesied about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if you can't be fruitful here,
that's right.
You won't be fruitful there.
That's right.
Amen. What does
that's
it say?
Right.
He who is faithful in a little thing, right, will be faithful with much. But he's unfaithful in a little thing,
that's
will
right.
be found unfaithful
Amen.
With much. Amen.
Amen.
We always should seek in our hearts to multiply and to increase. Amen.
Amen.
But can I tell you this? Even in that. I mean, I don't know about you, but as long as I'm on the earth, I want to see people get saved. I want to reach people. I want to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ grow and all of these things. Don't you?
Yes.
I mean, let's do this thing. But how many of you know you should always keep a heart for eternity and for the promised land? Amen? It always should be in our heart.
Amen.
But you don't want to have your heart so set on that you're not fruitful where you are. I guarantee you, a lot of saints that have been around a long time will tell you, I wish I hadn't squandered the years that I squandered.
Yeah. Amen.
That I could have given all to God. And I'm one of those.
Yeah.
I got saved in 1978.
Billy Graham said that too.
Yeah. You look back and you realize.
Yep.
And I believe there's a tendency to this, guys. Well, here's the thing. I believe if we'll be determined to increase where we are, we can move to step two, which is we need to seek the welfare of the city.
Amen.
I'm going to take it a little further in just a moment. Again, we're to bless and we're to never curse. You might say, well, how do I do that? Well, how about starting out by saying this is a good land?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
This is a good land. Here's the thing. If you and I will watch and pray, He will speak.
Mm-hmm.
He will speak to us. If you call upon me, I will answer you. Amen. I'll show you great and mighty things. I will be found by you.
Yeah.
Again, today, if you hear His voice and do not harden your heart, enter His rest. Because even in a place of exile, He'll speak to you. In this place of prayer and intercession, this is where we learn to wait on the Lord. And I've told you, waiting is with expectant trust. Expectant, yes, but also trust. And that's how you wait upon the Lord. And but also, never curse the land you're in. Let me just say it this way. You need to begin to believe and begin to speak. This is a good land.
Yes.
This company I work for is a great company.
Yes.
Uh-oh. Right? The community I live in is awesome, right?
Amen.
The school I go to is a good land.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? You start to bless.
Yeah.
You start to bless. Then you start to have eyes for harvest. Everywhere you work, play, recreate, go to school, everything in life, you start to see something different, but you're blessing it. You said, I'm going to be here fruitful and multiply here. It may be a lousy job. I'm sure we've all had them. I had some lousy jobs. But I'll tell you what, whenever I got a revelation of this and began to bless, it changes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean that the troubles and the strife are going to just go away, but you'll find that you can be fruitful where you are.
Amen.
But that has to change. Amen?
Amen.
Pray for the city. God, guys, we need to be crying out for Phoenix. We need to be crying out for the different cities around Phoenix. We need to be crying out for the Apache and Navajo Nation. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
And declare, this is a good land.
Amen.
And I'm going to believe God's going to cause us to be fruitful and to multiply. Y'all with me?
Yes.
The third thing, we need to develop a prosperous soul, especially while we're sojourning and in a place of exile. We need to know we have to have a prosperous soul. Now, I want to take you to where we're done with Jeremiah for now. I love Jeremiah, but we're going to move on. Go over to 3 John, the third epistle of John, and I want to look at just a few verses. Most of you know these verses. 3 John, it's only one chapter, verses 2 through 4. Here we go. Beloved, I pray that in all respects, if you have your Bible, put in all respects, you may what?
Prosper.
Say it out loud with me.
Prosper
and be in good health, just as your
soul
prospers. We're going to stop for just a moment. The prosperity of my soul is determining the prosperity in other areas of my life, and even my good health.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all seeing that?
Yeah.
Very important. For I was very glad when brethren came and testified to your truth. That is, how you are what?
Walking.
walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in truth. Nothing brings more joy than to see somebody walking in the truth. How many of you know that's true?
Yeah.
I don't care if you're talking about your spouse, a friend of yours, a new convert, your child. When they're walking in truth, it brings great joy.
Amen.
To walk in the truth of God. But here's the thing. You cannot walk in truth without a prosperous and healthy soul. You can't do it. Not long term. And I'll explain that why. Because the fleshly lust of this world wages war against our soul.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And it's important because, see, as a man thinks within himself, so is he.
Yes.
And you've heard people say, well, you know, I just feel like there's this battle going on. Like there's this black dog and a white dog and they're fighting. Y'all heard that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we have this evil over here and it's fighting against each other on the inside. I'm sorry, that's not to be the Christian life.
That's right, yeah.
And whichever one I feed the most, well, that's true.
That's right, yeah.
But you need to get the evil dog out of your yard.
That's right.
Amen?
Get the snake out of the garden.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm just cording off that part of your life. Well, right. There's a rattlesnake in that room. Don't go in there.
Yeah.
Hello?
Amen.
The soul of man is his, everybody say this with me, his mind,
his will,
and his emotions, okay? That's the soulless part of you, okay? Spiritually, you're born again and you're a new creation
that's
in
right.
him.
Amen.
But your soulless part of your nature is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, obviously, is the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
How many of your thoughts are important?
Mm-hmm.
The second part is your will. You might say, well, it's your intentions, okay? And then emotions would be your passions, your feelings, and your desires, okay? But we must develop a prosperous soul, and we need to have the mind of Christ, amen?
Amen.
And we need to submit to His will
amen.
In all things. And you know what else? We need to give our passions to God.
Right.
We need to live for God. We need to give our worship and our passion
right.
to the Lord
right.
and to His kingdom, amen? And delight in Him.
Amen.
That's how you bring your soul into alignment.
Amen.
And how many of you know, that's something you can decide to do.
Amen.
Hello? You're primarily a spiritual being.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget that.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
You're primarily a spiritual being.
Right.
And even in troubled times of shaking and uncertainty, we can have a prosperous soul. I'm convinced of it.
Yeah.
Now, let's think about that first generation that came out of Egypt. We know that most of them, the vast majority of them, could not enter the promised land. They couldn't enter their prosperous place.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They couldn't go there because of their impoverished souls.
Yeah.
The evil report came. What did the evil report do? It magnified the enemy, right?
Right.
That's another part of the word we got today.
Yeah.
You know, the enemy's nothing.
That's right.
Why are you magnifying the enemy? Magnify the Lord with
That's
me.
Right.
Amen. Let us
Amen.
Exalt His name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what David did in front of an 8-foot giant.
Yeah.
He magnified the Lord in front of an 8-foot giant.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
In their hearts and minds, what happened was that this evil report was overriding any truth they had heard. Because the truth was, God said, I've already given you this land.
Amen.
That was the truth. Everybody say truth.
Yes, truth.
But again, their impoverished soul wasn't able to handle the evil report.
That's right.
Because see, when my soul is prosperous, truth will always trump the facts.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
I don't deny facts. They may be real. Giants were there. Fortified cities were there. The enemy's armies were there. But it doesn't change anything about what God. Truth overrides that.
That's right.
See, God wants us to live that way. He wants us to walk in the truth, not just be able to quote truth.
That's right. Amen.
He wants us to walk in it
Amen.
From a prosperous soul. Anybody
Amen.
Want to have a prosperous
yes.
soul?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I got news for you. I can't lay hands on you and give you one.
That's right. That's right.
You have to develop that.
That's right.
By feeding on His faithfulness.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
you
right.
develop a prosperous soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our thinking and our emotions and our will and our intentions must always be yielded to His thoughts
right.
and to His ways. Amen?
Amen?
Always. Because here's what I love about that verse. He wishes in all respects. I think the old King James says, Beloved, I wish above all things. Isn't that what it says?
Mm-hmm.
I wish above all things that
yeah.
thou mayest prosper and be in good health. So think about it this way. In every area of your life, God wants you to prosper and be in good health. Now, prosperity gets a bad rap. Oh, you're one of those prosperity preachers. Well, yeah, I am. But not like you think.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, just go look at my car and come see my house.
Huh?
Okay. Look at my clothes. Huh? Yeah. It doesn't only mean you're provided for, okay? But it means success. It means victory. It means you overcome.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right.
That's all it means. And unfortunately, people lump it only into the financial category. That's part of it, though. How many of you know?
Yeah.
You can have a poverty mindset even about finances.
Yeah.
A poverty mindset will keep you from giving. It'll keep you from tithing. It'll keep you from being gracious and generous to other people.
Yeah.
And what happens is when you don't do that, you shut the windows of heaven instead of open them. Hello? It's quiet when you mention money. Yeah. I'm not taking up an offering, so relax. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And can I tell you this? Even if you didn't know all the details of what Jesus did on the cross for you to be healed, that verse alone ought to be something to be in your soul. Down in your soul. My God wants me to live in good health.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So I had a hard time when I got COVID. I was PO'd. I felt bad. But that aside, I was offended.
We all were.
Are y'all with me?
Oh, yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, my soul was going, hold on, time out. We don't get COVID around here. Are y'all with me? God wants us to succeed in what we do. He wants us to be successful, provided for, overcoming, and He wants you healed and healthy. Hello?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Can I hear people shouting from online?
Yeah.
He wants you healed and healthy.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
It's His will for you in all respects.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen.
We need to recapture that one.
That's
yeah.
Some people act like that just went away.
Yeah.
It didn't go away. It's God's will. The fourth thing, in holy fear and awe, we need to be like never before, worshipers of God. Amen? And let me say this to you. If you're a worshiper of God, then you believe His report to you.
That's right. That's right.
Worshipers of God honor the Word of God.
That's right.
And they believe the Word of God. Amen. And the promises of God. Let me just say this to you. Don't be a skeptic. Hello? Don't be a skeptic. Not only about the promises of God, but we've got to really be careful now because of media and the internet and all the ways that people communicate now. Prophets are everywhere. But we still need prophecy. Are y'all with
me?
That's right. We still need a prophetic word. There is still the office of a prophet. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. In fact, the great manifestation of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2 is that all shall prophesy.
Yes.
So it shouldn't be something foreign to us. So don't be a skeptic. A humble heart of worship is the remedy for pride and unbelief and skepticism. I have to be real careful. If anybody with me? If I have a bad experience or a deep disappointment, to not become skeptical.
Right.
Because I may not understand why I didn't get the manifestation that Rick wanted. Right?
Yeah.
But it doesn't change truth.
That's right.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It doesn't change truth.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be a skeptic. The gospel of the kingdom, by the way, is still good news.
That's Amen. Right. Good news.
Hallelujah.
Yep.
In any and every situation, and in any and every generation, even this one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I know. I agree. We're a jacked up generation.
Yep.
But yep. I got news for you. The answer is the good news of the
That's
kingdom
right.
of God.
Amen.
Amen. Nothing has changed. In 2,000 years, nothing has changed.
That's right.
For the gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation to he who believes it.
Yep.
That's the difference. Is anybody believing it?
Yeah.
Because that's where the power is unto salvation.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go with me to Acts 13. I love these verses. And please don't just let them go in one ear and out the other because I quote it to you quite often. But Acts 13, verse 38. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through him, speaking of Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Stop right there. How many know most of the church gets that part? Do we not? Most people would agree. I mean, this is where everybody starts. You get forgiven of your sins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's faithful and just and true to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But can we keep reading?
Yeah.
And through him, everyone. Everybody say everyone.
Everyone.
Everyone who does what?
Believe.
Who believes, please say it out loud with me, is free from all things. Say it again. Free from all things. Again. Free from all things from which you could not be freed through the law. How many know the law would never free you? But not only are we forgiven, guys, that's simply and yet profoundly the gospel of the kingdom. Is it not? Freedom, forgiveness from all things.
Yes.
If it's demonic and dark, and stealing and killing and destroying in your life, take authority over
it.
In Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. And then he says, verse 41, and Paul quotes an Old Testament prophet, a warning, a prophetic warning. He says, therefore take heed, so that the things spoken of in the prophets may not come upon you. Here's the warning. Behold, you scoffers. I think the old King James says, you despisers. For you will what? Marvel and perish. For I am accomplishing a work in your days. A work which you will never believe. And he's talking about the scoffer. Though someone should describe it to you. Every prophetic word is describing God's intention. There will be a great awakening in this land. Are y'all with me? We'll see multitudes get saved at the end. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the things. Just think about the words. God is describing his intention prophetically.
Amen.
But you can't scoff at it and despise it.
Amen.
And roll your eyes at it. You have to believe it. Amen?
Believe it.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean. So many times the prophets get thrown under the bus. But the people didn't respond to the prophetic word. This has always been about Jesus, and it always will be about Jesus. Are you with me?
Amen.
He is the answer. When I first got saved, I was really into the music of Andre Crouch. Fabulous singer, wrote fabulous worship choruses before worship was cool. And he had one. It's called Jesus is the Answer for the World Today.
Yeah.
Above him there is no other. Jesus is the way. And that sounded so provocative, you know, coming out of the 60s and the 70s. And yet, how many know that's still true?
Amen.
He's still the way.
Yeah.
There is no other. Hallelujah. It's always been about Jesus. Do y'all remember? John is before the angel of the Lord in Revelation 19. And at one point, John is overwhelmed. And he bows down before the angel. And the angel rebuked him. You remember that?
Yeah.
The angel said, do not do that. He said, remember what he said? For I am a fellow servant of you and your brethren who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Don't worship angels. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I want to say something today, and I don't want any of you, I am not attacking anybody when I say this. Please, don't even go there. Don't let your heart go there. I'm also not saying everything that is prophesied has been God, obviously. But I want to say this to you. The spirit and essence of all prophecy is to make known the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
That's what the angel was saying. Mm-hmm. And those that hold to that testimony of Jesus, the unchangeable one, his word is unchangeable, his covenant is unbreakable,
Amen.
And he's unchangeable.
Amen.
He's the same with us today as he was, we read it out in the book of Acts.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Are you with me? That's the covenant and that's the commitment.
Yeah.
And that's the testimony.
Yes.
So we don't waver from the testimony of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He's healer, deliverer, savior, Lord. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's all of those things.
Amen.
It's who he is. I forgot what I was going to say.
It's who he is.
As I share these last thoughts with you before we pray, everything is summed up in Jesus. That's where I was going. Sorry. Got excited and went off on a little fit there. But everything's about Jesus.
Amen.
So in all honesty, when our messages and our teachings and our songs and our prophetic words aren't about Jesus, it's troublesome. It's troublesome. And I'm getting caught up in it too. I keep hearing the word reset. How many of you heard that word? Reset.
Yeah, reset.
We hear it in the world. We hear about governmental reset, the reset of nations. We hear about reset in banking and finance. How many of you heard that? Reset, reset. There's going to be a reset. But you know, God has a word for reset. It's repent.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's repent and return. That's God's word for reset. Are you with me?
Repent.
In other words, repent and return to my ways.
Yeah.
For your ways are not my ways. Hallelujah.
Yep.
And it's a word of the Lord, I believe, to his remnant. It's time for us to reset our heart. To reset our ministries, to reset our church, to reset our passions and desires on the things of God.
Amen.
Because here's the thing, if we're going to multiply, if we're going to increase and not decrease, we need spiritual reset.
That's right.
We need a heart reset and enter into the rest of God. He's calling us to that. What I love about repent and return in the book of Acts is he says, when you repent and return, yes, your sins are wiped away, but times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. I mean, that's even better. It's awesome that he wipes your sins away, right? So that you can stand blameless before him, right?
Right.
That's awesome. And always remember this about forgiveness. It actually means deeper than that. It means to be pardoned.
Yeah, pardoned.
That means even the ramifications of your sins have been removed from you. No penalty. Hallelujah!
Yeah.
That's why I shout.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
Because Rick don't want to pay the price for what I did.
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Anybody with me on that? But it's also the refreshing.
Yes, the refreshing.
He comes to resuscitate us, revive us in the Holy Spirit. And I love that word is times, plural. Meaning, we're going to have a lot of opportunities to repent. Not just when we initially get saved. I don't know about you, but repentance is, the opportunity is there all the time. So, here's what I want to encourage you with. Let's do the things that develop a prosperous soul. You might say, well, what do I do? Well, commit yourself and prioritize worship and prayer in your life.
Amen.
You've got to do that.
Yes.
You also must abide in the Word of God, okay? Because not only will the truth set you free, and it will, but here's another thing about the Word. When it gets implanted, it's able to save your soul. The soul, literally, salvation comes from getting this Word implanted like a seed deep within you, and it begins to come out in your prosperous soul. So your response is always, well, this, and not circumstances, not wind and waves and lies and deceit and condemnation. My response is the Word of God.
That's right.
That's a prosperous soul. But you got to develop it, guys. You have to develop it. You got to look into the mirror, the perfect law of liberty, and see what God has. That's why we need a disciple's lifestyle. It's about discipline. Your born-again spirit man is all in.
Yeah.
When you make a decision, you're going to do something for God and press. Your born-again man inside of you is a yeah!
Yes. Yep.
Your born-again man is going, I hope we worship for 4 hours.
Yeah.
I wish we could do this every night. You know what I'm saying? That born-again part of you is excited about the things of God. You see something, a miracle. You hear about something. You watch something that blesses you. And your spirit man's jumping. Anybody got? I'm saying,
yeah.
But sometimes our soul, it's like, you know, we have that battle.
Yeah.
Our soul's just going, can we go to sleep now?
Yeah.
Can we go lay down? I'm tired. You know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Amen? But also, let's contend for a work of God in our days. Let's contend for a work of God in our days. The most important part of reset is entering into his rest.
That's right.
Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. A hardened heart is the one that refuses to hear his voice. I don't want to have that kind of heart. Are y'all with me? Because I believe the Spirit's always speaking.
Yep.
And I don't want to miss what God's saying. But let's also not harden our heart to his glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
If we're going to see our lives and our ministry and our church, I'm talking individually, corporately, and anything we do. If we're going to see glory in it, that it's marked by glory. How many would like your life, everything about what you do, to be marked by the glory of God? I mean, I want that. Okay? Then guess what? We have to encounter glory. It just doesn't happen because, yeah, I want more. You have to encounter the glory of God in worship. There's a verse in I believe it's in 1 Samuel. I promise it's in the Bible. I can't quote it. In 1 Samuel, it says this. It said, the men who went with Saul, King Saul, his warriors, his mighty men that went with him, it said this, they were valiant men, get this, whose hearts had been touched by God. And some of you remember, I shared this a couple of years ago. The Lord had spoke to me as I read that to look up the word touched. Remember we talked about that? Because I always thought of touch as kind of like, well, touch. You know? Oh,
yeah.
God touched my heart. Woo, let's go eat. Where are we eating today? You know, that kind of thing. You know, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. You know. And I looked it up. And in the Hebrew, it means a forceful encounter.
Wow. Wow, that's
like an abrupt and forceful encounter. How many know we need some of those?
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Back at Christ the Rock Church, the church that I was a part of for years with my brother, and we had that revival we spoke of in 99. The revivalist, Damon Thompson, that spoke there, he said, some of you just need to let God mess you up.
Yeah, right.
And some guys printed t-shirts. I've been messed up by God and all that. It was just fun. It kind of came to buzz for it. But what he's saying is, we need a forceful encounter.
Yes.
And that's where the Spirit of God touches our hearts.
Yeah.
And how many know when that happens, there's a new valiancy that rises up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? There's a new boldness and confidence in God that rises up. But it's not because we've just decided we're going to be strong. It's because God has touched us in a mighty way. Anybody want that?
Yes.
Amen.
I promise I'm coming in for a landing. No more. Everybody relax. I heard the Lord say this today. Just this morning. He said, I am raising up some courageous revivalists. Now, when I think about a revivalist, I immediately think about certain men and women of God that were mightily used of God. Everywhere they went, revival broke out. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Whether it be a healing revival or a glory or whatever. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And how many are glad for those men and women in the history we look at that we know, frankly, it's possible. Right?
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, what does that really mean? And then the Lord told me that He's looking for a people of revivalists, not just any one man or woman of God.
Right, right.
But that the people of God are fire starters.
Yeah, right.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The people of God, wherever they go, glory goes.
Yeah.
Wherever they go and work or work out or climb Superstition Mountain or whatever. Whatever they do, that they're a revivalist.
In
meaning that they set fire and touch people's lives who are believers, but they also win souls.
Yeah.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody want to be a part of that?
Yes.
I believe with all of my heart, the Lord's saying to us, I want you to rise up like a revivalist.
Hallelujah.
And I want you to take the scepter of authority that I've given you in my kingdom, the keys that I've given you.
Amen.
But I also need you to draw close. Because see, you need to be touched forcefully.
Amen.
You need to encounter me in ways that's going to radically change you. And I don't know about you, but I can try in my zeal to draw a crowd. In my song, I can try to do everything with excellence. Nothing wrong with doing things with excellence. There's nothing wrong with passionate preaching or any of those things. But glory makes the difference.
That's right.
It's the glory of God.
The glory of God.
How many know that's what we need?
That's right.
Not just Freedom Gate, but the church
the
needs
church.
It. The remnant who's believing for these things. Because the things we're believing for are too daunting for us to do in our own strength.
Right.
And our own
that's
wisdom
right.
and our own
yeah.
cleverness.
Amen.
It's going to be a mighty move of the Spirit of God and the glory of God being manifest
Amen.
In a mighty way. But can I remind you, Christ in you is the hope of glory.
That's right. The hope of
Hallelujah.
Glory. Yes.
And so my encouragement to you all today is don't harden your heart.
That's right.
Don't harden your heart.
Amen. Don't harden your heart.
And, you know, just accept that, you know, your current exile, even in that, God wants you to be fruitful.
That's right.
You know? And it could be that may be the way you might move on to something else.
That's right.
But boy, you're not going to get there cursing where you are. And so I just hear the Lord saying that to me, that we need to position ourselves. And I want to really encourage you, all of you that, you know, the discipleship groups are beginning this week. The whole point is to get us in a better place in what God wants to do. Because I believe with all my heart, that there's a harvest that's going to come in because of it.
That's right.
And because of that, because we're prepared to make disciples. Because I heard the Lord say this probably 2 or 3 years, well, further back probably. And why I was always so passionate about discipleship. And the Lord just spoke to me. He said that the problem with people so easily falling away and backsliding all the time, they get touched by God in an altar call or whatever, and then they just go back into the world.
That's right.
The problem with that is they were never discipled.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
And you know what? It's not on them, it's on us.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. Now granted, you can't make somebody, you can't twist their arm and make them become a disciple. But when somebody is repenting and giving their heart, that's the time to pull them in. And that's the time to go after the things of God. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
How many of you wish some of the things, I mean, I know some of you in this room have been saved as long as I have, or for many, many years. How many of you wish some of the things you've learned, you could have learned them at the very beginning of your walk
yeah.
with God,
yeah.
instead of taking sometimes decades yeah. to learn some things the hard way. See, that's not how God intended it.
No.
He intended us to work out our salvation. He didn't say over the next 40 years.
Right.
If you remember, the 40-year generation was the generation that was rebellious against
yeah.
God. God wants to do a quick work, and it's going to happen. And we're going to see these revivals. We're going to be amazed. People are going to get saved. And I say this, I believe, under the unction of the Holy Spirit. People are going to get saved and come to know the Lord dramatically and get completely set free
Amen.
With no therapy. They're just going to get set free, and they're going to walk in the things of God, and they will immediately become a harvester in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
They themselves will become a revivalist.
Yes.
And some of us that have been around a while, and boy, we're such theologians.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to be amazed at what God's going to do.
Amen.
In those that are coming in. Amen?
Amen.
Any revivalists here?
Yes.
I'm serious. Anybody want to be a revivalist?
I'm a revivalist.
Anybody want to be a... They said about John Wesley, they would be amazed. You got to understand, this is at a time before you had a way to promote things. You know, you didn't have media. You didn't, if anything, they maybe had a poster or a sign on a tree. And John Wesley mainly spoke in open-air meetings all over England and even in the eastern part of North America. And John Wesley was just, they just said, all these people come out to hear this guy preach. And they asked him what his secret was. He goes, I don't know. He said, I just catch on fire and people come watch me burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the power of God would move so strong. We're talking about a public meeting. We're not talking about a great praise and worship band and all the, you know, comfortable chairs and lighting, and it's on TV. It's on God TV and it's on TBN and all of this. Oh, everybody's watching.
Yeah.
That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Can I have somebody get on the organ for me? No, 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 none of that.
Just one band.
Just preaching in the open air, yeah, in town squares.
Yeah.
Among basically wicked people. And some other people would come because they had heard about what God was doing. And I recall a story about John Wesley. I know a lot about him because I got saved in the Methodist church, and John Wesley was he was the founder of the Methodist movement. And he said to one guy that he climbed, it was a guy that he climbed up in a tree so he could see better. He goes, you guys in the trees need to come down. And at first everybody thought, well, you're just being religious or something like this, inappropriate or whatever. He goes, no, when the Holy Spirit comes through here, you don't want to be up in a tree.
Fall out of a tree.
He was that confident. Are y'all with me? He was that confident that when he preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit was going to blow in.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be in a tree when that happens. Are y'all with me?
Fall out.
Oh, Lord, do it again.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Lord Jesus. Yeah.
Do it again.
Yes, sir. Do it again, Lord.
Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, lift up your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. Come on, just cry out to God right now. Everybody, come on. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, let us be your revivalists. Let us be the catalyst for revival, Lord. Our lives, our marriages, our families, our children, our businesses, Lord God. Everything we do in life, let it be a catalyst for your glory and your power, Lord God. Like never before, we pray. Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice and just cry out your heart to God right now. Come on. Come on. Begin to pray into the Lord right now. And pray in the Holy Ghost and just lift up your voice to heaven. Hallelujah.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that every area of our heart, those of you at home, stand up right there in your living room and lift up your hands to heaven right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Oh, Lord. Lord, we pray today that we not have hard hearts. And we set our hearts today. We reset our hearts. Say, I reset my heart.
I reset my heart.
To seek after you, Lord. To hear your voice. To walk with you, Lord. That I may enter into rest. Even though I may be in exile. But that I may find your rest. Your supernatural peace. Your supernatural joy. Would reside upon me. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. And Lord, we pray. Every time we get in the secret place, every time we gather together to pray, to worship, we pray, Lord, for glory encounters. God, we ask you to touch our hearts forcibly. Anybody want that? Come on, open your heart. Touch my heart forcibly, Lord. Change me by your glory, Lord. We long to encounter you. Hallelujah, Lord. Holy One. We worship you. Come on, lift your voice. voice to be raised, would you lift your hands, lift your countenance to heaven, sing that verse again. Every voice,
Lord,
lift it up.
Please light the fire
that once burned bright and clear.
That once burned bright and clear. Replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear.
Just wait before him right now. Just wait before him. Jesus. Holy Spirit. Lord, we want to be your fire starters. Hallelujah. We want to be your harvesters, Lord, your soul winners. Come on, come on. Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
We want when the saints gather, when the royal priesthood, the chosen people of God gather, that the wind of the Holy Ghost blows through the room. Hallelujah. It blows through the outreach. It blows through every place. It blows through the camp meeting tent. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Forgive us for grieving you. Forgive us, Holy Spirit, for quenching you. Come on, if you need to repent of that, just do that right now. Reset your heart. Holy Spirit, we want to live fully aware of you. Fully aware of you. Jesus.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be old.
Joshua was that when everybody else had left the tent, Joshua could be found in the tent of meeting before the glory of God. The Lord, you would be our first choice as David's heart. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we know that none of us can make this happen, but we can contend for it, and we can ask for it, and we can believe for it. Hallelujah. And that's our desire, Lord. Break in upon us in new and powerful ways, we pray. Jesus, Jesus. Did y'all agree with me for this, that the Lord, about that not a time we gather we go by that people don't get saved? You know, I'm serious. That not a time the church would gather we wouldn't see people being saved. How about this? That a day we would get to a place where every day the Lord was adding to our number again, as we read in the book of Acts. Does anybody want that? I'm serious. God will work a work in our days. Lord, we take authority over skepticism. We take authority over the Jezebel spirit of manipulation and witchcraft. We take authority over oppressive spirits of disappointment and frustration. We uproot these things from our hearts and from the life of this church and this ministry in the name of Jesus. We declare, you will not bear fruit here any longer. For we will not despise the prophetic word of the Lord. Hallelujah! This generation will have a great awakening. The young and the old will come to Jesus. Hallelujah! And we choose to believe, Lord. We don't want to watch it from afar. We want to be in the middle of it, Lord. We want to be your revivalist. We want to be your firebrands, plucked from the fire of your glory, Lord, to burn for you. Oh, hallelujah. As you confirm your word with signs following. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray a prayer of consecration together. Lift your hands and say, Jesus, here am I. Come on, say it. Here am I. Use me. Send me. Speak through me. Burn through me, Lord. Consume me. Oh, consuming fire, I pray. I am yours for your glory. You bought me with your blood. I am redeemed. I am redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And I choose to glorify God in my body to the praise and glory of Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? If you don't feel like you were 100% on board with that prayer, pray it every day until it is. Pray it every day. Amen? Just pray it every day before God until it becomes a reality in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. If you need a touch physically, can we all stand up? Can everybody stand up? If you need a touch physically, would you lift both hands to heaven? Just lift your hands up. I want to ask you to do this if you would. Would you find somebody with their hands up and just go behind them and place their hands on their back? We got, hold them up again so we can find you. Anybody else? If you've not been had hands laid on you, okay. And I want to pray for those at home right now. If your spouse is there with you or your children or whatever, have them lay hands on you right now, right there in your living room. Father, we come before you right now. And we thank you, Lord, that you wish above all things we prosper and be in good health. Hallelujah. Therefore, Lord, we take authority over sickness and disease in the power of the name of Jesus, by whose stripes have brought forth our healing. And we thank you for it today in the name of Jesus. Lord, I agree with people right now this morning for colds and flus, COVID virus, or any such thing to leave your body in the name of Jesus, to be gone from you even now in Jesus' name. We take authority. We take authority over respiratory illnesses in the name of Jesus. I take authority over respiratory illnesses. What's the one?
Pulmonary fibrosis.
In Jesus' name. We speak life and healing. We speak life and healing to your lungs right now in the name of the Lord. Right now. I speak to tumors to disintegrate. Cancerous tumors or any type of tumor that's in the body of Christ right now. In Jesus' name, we command these tumors to
dissipate and to disintegrate, and we curse you at your very root to grow no more and come out. Come out of these bodies in Jesus' name. All tumors and growths, benign or malignant, we command you to come out and to decrease now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just receive it right now. Just receive it right now. Lord, I take authority over heart disease. I take authority over diabetes. I take authority, Lord, over high blood pressure in the name of Jesus. We take authority over tinnitus and ringing in the ears in Jesus' name. I take authority over back issues, disc and vertebrae. I call you into alignment in the name of Jesus. We speak health and healing to your bones right now. We rebuke and bind and take authority over arthritis in the name of Jesus. We speak life into your being now in Jesus' name. Ramakate. Now, those that you're praying for right now, just start to release life. Speak it. Speak it. That's how you use the keys. Speak it. Say life to you right now. Strength to you. Healing to you. Come on. Just let those words flow right now. It's releasing the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Touch, touch, touch. Life and healing. Restoration. In the name of the Lord. Oh, my God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we just believe and agree today in the name of the Lord. For some of you, you've had some things that you're standing for today. You've been renewed in your faith from the prophetic word today. And I hear the Lord saying, take hold of your healing. I don't care if you're like the woman with the issue of blood and you've been sick for 12 years. Take hold of your healing right now in Jesus' name. Just reach out your hands to heaven and take hold of it. Place your hand on that part of your body that's infirm and begin to declare your healing in the name of Jesus. Declare the day we're turning this thing around. Come on. In the name of Jesus, today, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Begin to speak those confident words of faith in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Roma silly undercutata. Anybody else, while we were praying, just keep praying. Anybody else get a word of knowledge and you don't know who it might have been for? It could be somebody that's even watching online. Anybody, does something dropped in your spirit, a particular thing? I keep hearing something about teeth, and I don't know. I know I personally, I need a miracle on some things in my, and that's right. I forgot about it.
I had a couple of teeth pulled.
Oh, you had the wisdom teeth pulled, yeah. How are you doing?
It's
yeah.
It's okay.
Okay. Anybody else?
Pastor Rick, I think somebody's had some fillings filled.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Somebody got needed fillings and God just did it.
God filled it up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In the name of the Lord. Father, we just release that right now in the name of Jesus, the power to heal. Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit quickens life to all of our being. Come on. Life, life, life. Resurrection life in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's not really strange because I've heard it before, but I just was reminded of it, so I'm going to say it. I heard the Lord say, for some of us, your healing will actually come when you start going out and being a vessel for healing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just start. It's almost like kind of get your eyes off of your own predicament and just go after God. And go after God and go after, just say, I just want to see people get healed. Be moved to compassion. Start praying for people. You might say, well, I'm hurting myself. Well, boy, that's the biggest black eye you can get the devil, right? You may be hurting yourself because y'all know the adage, but it's true. If God can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Amen. You can't be having healing flow through you and not get healed yourself. Hallelujah. So I encourage you in that.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something. What I've been doing, and of course, you know, it really works too, is you, in those that need healing, you envision yourself doing something that you can't do right now, which for me is running on the beach with Marvel.
Hallelujah.
Because he's a good runner. Not that I'll keep up with him, but I see myself. Yeah, thank you. I see myself running on the beach without the oxygen, having plenty of energy, and that's what I see. So I just want to encourage all those that are believing for healing. Allow the Holy Spirit to give you a picture in your heart.
I love that. I love that.
Yes. Yes, yes. Yes. That's a sanctified imagination, isn't it? That's a sanctified imagination. Hallelujah. Whew. You know why? Because he wishes that you prosper and be in good health. He don't want you going without and failing at every turn and sick as a dog. God doesn't want that for any of us. Amen? Hallelujah. You know that verse in chapter 5 of Acts where it says that all the people came from the surrounding areas of Jerusalem, and everybody came, and so many people they had to lay them on the sidewalk. Not sidewalk, it doesn't say sidewalk, beside the road. And so that, well, at least maybe I'll be in the proximity of Peter's shadow. They just wanted to be in the proximity of the healing anointing that was on the church, and the Bible says all got healed. Let's believe for that again. Amen?
Yes.
Let's believe for that again.
I don't know who this is for, but I keep hearing God saying, change your vocabulary to I can't, from I can't to I can.
Amen.
Because I don't know, I just feel this heaviness. Whoever is having a heaviness heart, God just said, I have it under control. Just keep changing your vocabulary. Do not look at what you can't do. Look what you can do and move in it.
Amen.
Says the Lord.
Kenneth Hagin said all the time, pray the answer, not the problem.
Yes.
Pray the answer. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. It's good to see you all today. If you need any further prayer for anything, just come down to the front. I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you before you leave. Otherwise,